I must confess, I stole a book from Kirk. And with his awareness of it, it's called I Am Your Sign by Sean Smith. I finished it last night. I was here in the church, and some statements he made is absolutely amazing. I want to read you a couple, and then I'm just going to go for a few minutes. Sean wrote in the last page of this book, God is ready to unveil new mercy in our day that will cause long-standing oppressions to give way, injustices to be terminated as a groundswell of radical new breed revivalists move from the background to the forefront. If you've been sitting on the edge is going to collapse and boost you right in the middle of what God is doing. That's my interpretation. Heaven is releasing awakened deliverers who will be in sync with the Spirit of God, walking in the miraculous and moving in Christ's compassion. Not only will they see signs and wonders, they will be signs and wonders, and a generation will have to sit up and take notice. As we said earlier, and it doesn't say that in here, but God is very radical. And God is very radical for his people. The anointing coming to you now is for a heaven rendering, history making, nation awakening that will crown the Son with praises of freshly delivered, adorning sons and daughters. And they'll rise up energizing revivalists. This is your hour. You are their sign. You may look in that and say, boy, that went over my head. Don't let it. We are now in the day. We're not looking for the day. We're not looking back to the day. We are now in the day when the Holy Spirit is going to move even greater than he did in the book of Acts. This is not something we're just waiting for. This is not something we're even hoping for, wishful thinking. This is something that is happening in many countries in the world, and there's no reason it can't happen here. There's no reason it can't happen in your life. Only our resistance to a radical move of God will stop him from invading Christian Outreach Center, Sisseton, other churches. You have a choice to make. We have a choice to make. Are we going to watch? Are we going to resist? Or are we going to jump in? There are things that are suddenly happening. And I want to look at the life of Jesus. I want you to look at the life of Jesus. And I want you for a moment to place yourself, and maybe Mary was a teenager. I have no record of saying that, but Mary's walking along, minding her own business, doing what she's supposed to be doing. And all of a sudden, there's an angel. And this angel interrupted her whole life. He said, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and the Holy One's going to overshadow you. And the babe that you're going to have is going to be basically conceived of the Holy Spirit. And Mary says, time out. I'm not living with anybody, and I haven't even known a man. But she came to a place of saying, finally, let it be unto your maidservant according to your will. Now think for a moment. How many people does God really want to go to hell? How much delight does God get out of seeing people demon-possessed? How much praise does God get from you when you're broken and worried and fearful and uptight? So God is absolutely radical about the Holy Spirit coming upon people and using them to set people free. How do I know that? How come you can look at me and say, well, Pastor, how do you know that? There's only one person you have to look at, and that's Jesus Christ. You don't need millions. You don't need billions. You need to take a peek. Why did Jesus come to this ungodly world? Keep in mind that for 400 and some years, there was no voice of God. Malachi was the last prophet. People were in darkness. Rome had overtaken Jerusalem, and the people were in oppression. And into that dark hour, as Ray was talking about, came the light. And shone in a dark world. So Jesus is born. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 61, if you want to turn there, I can read it. I can almost quote it for you, but I'll not try to do that. Kirk is a mathematician. How many hundreds or thousands of years was Isaiah written before Jesus came? You can just guess. Kirk says 24,000. No. Hundreds of years. How many of you in your lifetime has guessed something that's going to happen in 100 years? Or how many of you seen it happen in 100 years? Probably 700 years before Christ comes. And here's what Isaiah writes about Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Some empty words? No. Words filled with life and hope for a nation that was going to be in intense darkness. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 17. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book. The eyes of the whole congregation was upon him, and he looked at them and he said these words, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus was the exact person that Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years before he came. What's the chances of that happen? Just one? Okay, Jeremiah, what does that mean? And so the followers of Jesus looked back to him. Peter was preaching at the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. And these words just accidentally came out. how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus in John chapter 20 looked at his disciples after appearing to them. The Bible says he breathed on them and he said these words, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." If Jesus has come to set the oppressed free, those that are under demonic influence, those who are bound by Satan in their minds or in their spirits, those who are filled with fear and worry and all the things that Satan wants to put on, those who are crippled, those who are sick, those who are bound, if Jesus came to set them free, realize you are too. There is no Christian who's supposed to be on the sideline waiting to be put in the game. There is no spiritual bench in Christianity where someone sits and waits and waits and waits and waits. Immediately, when people were saved in the Bible, many of them went out and preached. You say, "But I'm waiting for my calling." If you're doing that, you missed your calling. The hour is now to rise up. The hour is now to say, "God, I want that same anointing." We need a Caleb spirit in this church and in the town. We need people who say, "Moses promised me that mountain. I'm 85 years old now, and my sight's not dimmed, and my health is not bad. Give me that mountain. I don't care about the Canaanites with their steel chariots. I don't care about the giants that I'm going to have to face. I don't care about anything coming against me. Give me my mountain. Well, give me this city for God." Come on, wake up. You want to stand for the rest of the time I'm preaching? It's the hour, it's the day, it's the time, it's now. When you go to Walmart, look at Walmart as your mission field. When you go to Shopko or you go to some of the Kmarts or you go to the grocery store, I know that's Walmart now. When you go whatever you go or you go to Hy-Vee and have a lunch, whatever it is, you go to Teal's, you go to Pizza Hut, you go to Dairy Queen, look at it as a mission field. Be prepared to minister to someone. Be prepared to touch someone. Why? Because their eternity may depend on you and what God's telling you to do. Don't look at yourself and say, "I can't. I can't. Never got you anywhere." Is anybody breathing? Amen. Just thought I'd check. You can have it for the next 5 weeks. But we come to a place where we just kind of quit. And without even saying we quit, I don't mean give up on God. I mean we just come to a place where we don't realize how desperately God loves people and how much His grace is sufficient for whatever need they have and how we are supposed to go. The Bible says the word, the power, the anointing didn't come in word only, but in power. The gospel's not just in speaking something. The gospel's demonstrating. That's what he's saying here. He's just saying, it's time that Christ is demonstrated in our lives to break the power of the enemy. You say, "But I'm afraid." Jerry just came up and asked me where it was about the angel killing 185,000. In Isaiah 37, when Sennacherib's army was invading Israel. Okay, Jeremiah, what's 185,000 times 12? You say, why you say that? Jesus said I could call 12 legions of angels when he was going to be crucified. One angel killed 185,000 people in one night. How many can 12 legions do? And so we come to a place where we need to realize you're not out there by yourself. You're not out there fighting this battle. You're not out there somebody trying to beat you up. You're not out there somebody trying to shut you up, somebody trying to do all these things to you. You're out there in the Spirit of God, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you, he will silence. You don't have to. He will do it. So how many of you like a dare? Double dog dare you. Getting time for that movie, Christmas Story or whatever it is. Go out and tell somebody they need Jesus or Jesus loves them. Go out and tell somebody, hey, God's waiting for you. You know what's going to happen? You're going to get some Holy Spirit boldness. And you're going to walk this out just saying, God loves you. Don't have to make him feel guilty. Don't have to condemn him. Don't do that. Just come and say, God loves you. Do you ever find somebody, and most people don't read newspapers anymore, but if you find somebody reading newspapers or on their computer looking up the news, just tell them all the news isn't there. There's good news. God loves you. So we come to a place where this body, without even knowing it, is making a choice. And you in your personal private life are making a choice. Last Saturday, we had many, many, many people pray a sinner's prayer. Many. I would dare say it was at least a fourth of all the people that were in here, without stretching it a bit. Most of Peggy's family. I think probably all, but I'm going to say most. Went down Monday morning to Sioux Falls, left Brookings, drove to the cemetery. And I thought there'd be 10 people there. There were probably 50 or 60 people there. So we spent time sharing Christ with them. Opportunities. You know what happens? We get frustrated when no one responds, but that's not our part. Our part is to be the witness. Our part is to share the love of God. If they accept Christ, beautiful. Man, what a exhilarating experience. If they don't, we were obedient as God leads us and the Holy Spirit puts that in our hearts. Same thing with praying for the sick. It's been a while since you looked at your hands, haven't it? Take a look at them. Look at your hands. Do you have any spiritual calluses from laying them on people? How many demons have you cast out? All I'm saying, it's available. It's available. These signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out devil. Not that they can, not that maybe, they will do it. They will speak in heavenly languages. They're going to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And if anybody's mad at you and trying to poison you, it ain't going to work. And you can do the snake bit yourself. I leave them alone. But here's where we are. We sit here many times, and it's increasing. This presence of God was beautiful this morning. But there's more. We sit here wondering, God, what are you going to do next? And when are you going to do it? And when are you going to fire it up? You know what God's doing? He's looking down saying, when do you really want more? When are you really going to take the stand and step into where I'm going? When do you really want that supernatural spontaneity suddenly of the Holy Spirit just to zap you? Are you willing to spend a week in church? Are you willing to spend overnight as you're laying on the floor in the power of God and you can't move? It's happened, friends. There's one thing about revival that people don't really think about, and that is a lot of people didn't leave the church, and I read in that book, some people never left the church for 10 days. How many of you want that? I don't hear anybody saying amen. Can't hear you. How many want it? How many want it? True. Friday night or Friday morning, I'm usually here at 5:30 that morning. I came at 4:30 because I needed an hour of prayer before the funeral. As I'm kneeling there, still hurts. As I'm kneeling there, I suddenly find myself praying, Lord, you know what's going to happen tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon. Please show me what I need to know. And all of a sudden, he just dropped a plain and simple gospel message, as simple as it can be. And I started writing it down. And it was so indelibly soaked in my heart and mind, I didn't need the notes. I just preached it. We are in a season where God wants to show you things. He wants you to know. He wants you to be prepared. I hate to be blindsided, don't you, by something? God knows. Let him show it to you. And he will. Walk the rest of your life out, and I close. I'm asking you, walk the rest of your life out in the supernatural leadership of the Holy Spirit. Betty Moss, when we used to talk about supernatural, she had the saying, it's just God adding his super to your natural. So walk the supernatural out. You are anointed. You are cleansed. You are loved more than you can ever imagine. You are a child of God. And God has no second-class citizens in his kingdom. I don't care what you've been through, you're not a second-class citizen. You are on the front lines of where God wants you to be. Every time you get up and say, God, my life is yours, I'm walking this out with you. You take control and you lead me. You will lead me where you want me to be and go. Never believe the distortions and the lies of Satan. Understand. Right now. And I'm going to go the opposite way than you may have heard before. Right now, you're the best God has in your community. Can you believe that? Can you accept that? Well, I did this and I did that. You're the only one that has a record of it. Satan acts on what our mouth speaks so much. Start declaring, God has a plan for me to prosper me, to lead me, to anoint me, to walk out this thing with him. I am not somebody that just is coming to him and he's flipping a coin wondering if he's going to accept me or not. He's accepted you the moment you opened your mouth to say, Christ, come into my life. But I had a bad week. So did 3 other billion people in this world. It's not a bad week. There are just some weeks that are better than others. There aren't bad days anymore. There are just some days that are better. You say, well, I did this and that. That's just some days are better. I was closer to God than I've been for a long time yesterday. I was on top of the trailer. And that's terrible when I get up there because you never know how it's going to end up. The trailer, not me. But here's where we are. All I want is to encourage you to take the risk. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Risk loving somebody. Risk helping somebody. Risk meeting that person that doesn't like you and smile at them and say, have a great day. It's not going too far, friends. If you have extra, help somebody. God's amazing. God is amazing. I need to share this just for somebody here and I'm done. My doctor got tired of me and moved to Kansas City. I'm surprised he's put up with me for 6 months, but he got out of Dodge real quick from Watertown. I had a new lady come in. I just didn't even tell Judy about this stuff, but they were going to do a biopsy. They wanted to take a piece of my kidney, and he said, yeah, you could have a lot of bleeding and might not make it if I do this. And I said, I think I'll just leave my kidney whole. Then he wanted to stick a tube in, and I don't know where it was going to start, but I didn't like the sound of it. And so he was going to take another piece out, and he wouldn't bleed too much with that, he said. Then he assigned me to a urologist, and he did all this stuff. And I went to this lady, and she came in to take his place 2 weeks ago. Was it 2 weeks ago, honey? 2 weeks, yeah. Get done with the appointment, they checked the blood pressure, they did all the stuff, went in for the lab a couple days before. She comes back and she said, I see that Dr. Shirati wanted this done and that done. We're not going to do any of that. Your protein is non-existent in your urine anymore. And we're just going to give you, I was meeting with them every 3 months, she said, I'm just going to give you 6 months. And then we'll check you again. You know, I was talking to Tony a while back, and it's amazing what Satan does with your mind when you hear the word something. You know what I mean? You know, a word is a trigger. It's amazing what God can do when you just kind of rest in Him. Now, here's why I said that. Not to say, hey, I said that because there's somebody out by you that you know that's going through that. They need God. They need God to bring peace to their mind. They need God to reassure them. They need your love to get them through that time. And you going to them and ministering to them and touching them. You are people of God. You have that authority. Walk in that authority to curse diseases. Walk in that authority to break the power of Satan. You have that authority. Go out and do it. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to set captives free. You're going to break bondages of Satan. You're going to make the devil very unhappy. Who cares if he's happy or not? Take the authority that you've been given, every one of you. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. Now you go. You go in my name. You go in my authority. You go in my power of attorney. You walk it out. Stand with me, will you? Raise your hands. Absolutely, I was wrong. Change your hands. Open them up. Open up like this. receive a blessing from the Lord. I don't do this, but I just feel led to do it this morning. Father, I bless this people in your name. I bless this people that they are blessed when they come in and they're blessed when they go out. They are blessed when they meet people and they're blessed when they're alone. The anointing of God is upon them to such a degree, they will see blind eyes open. They will see people going through mental torment set free. They will see oppression broken. They will see people prosper, and they will prosper in the name of the Lord. They're going for the gold, Lord, and nothing's going to stand in the way. We may see the finish line, but we're not there yet. But Lord, in the name of Jesus, whatever they put their hand to will prosper. All fear and doubt and worry is gone in the name of Jesus. Whose report are we going to believe? We are going to believe the report of the Lord in the name of Jesus. We're going to believe that He is all I need, that He does supply all my need, that He gives me His strength. I'm walking this out today in the name of Jesus. I'm walking in the love and grace and compassion of Jesus. And Lord, I receive that from you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, thank you that this church is going to have a divine encounter, a divine spontaneity suddenly to hit us. Even tonight, Lord, your people are going to be touched. Tomorrow, the next day, it's going deeper and deeper and deeper. We're stepping in the water, and pretty soon we're going to be swimming in the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, I pray for unsaved relatives. I pray for people who are rebuking and are just attacking in the name of Jesus. I silence those tongues in Jesus' name, and something's going to happen where they're going to fall on their knees before Jesus Christ. I give you praise. Now, Lord, just bless us with patience. Bless us with patience and long suffering, and we give you praise. Amen.